The meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, Mr. Polkowski?
7:33.
Thank you, sir. In accordance with the provision of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on March 11, 2019. Faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunter County Democrat, Hunter Review, and Express Times. Posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, in the administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Polkowski, may we please have a roll call?
Ms. Grant?
Here.
Ms. Brennan?
Present.
Ms. Brooks?
Here.
Ms. Emery?
Present.
Dr. Foy? Ms. Figueroa?
Here.
Dr. Grantham?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
And Dr. Rehamaki?
Here.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Figueroa, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this evening?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Malloy, would you be the process guardian for this evening's meeting, please?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the monthly meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Today is Monday, March 18th, 2019. Tonight, the Board of Education has a very busy agenda, which includes two important presentations. First, we will hear from our auditors regarding the findings of their financial audit from the district's fiscal year ending June 30th, 2018. Mrs. Cohn, our superintendent of schools, and Mr. Polkowski, the district's school business administrator and board secretary, will present the 2019-2020 tentative budget to the Board of Education and to the public. The board will then also conduct its normal monthly business. So let's begin this evening with a presentation from our auditing firm. At this point in time, I'd like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Polkowski.
Sure. I'd like to introduce Heidi Woolley from the Savakia, and she's going to present our 2017-2018 audit.
You can move.
Yeah.
Do you need more space?
As you'll see upon the board behind you, and if you have a copy, I'll go over a summary of the CAPR, which is the blue book, and I'd be happy to answer any questions as I go along or afterwards. So at the top of this page here, you have the general fund, which is the main operating fund of the district, where the bulk of your instructional, administrative, maintenance, custodian, some capital work, transportation, support services are reported. The budget is supported by revenue. The first is local revenue. That's principally your tax levy. So the final local revenue budget was $23.8 million. The actual was $24.026 million. There was an excess of approximately $168,000. That's primarily tuition revenue from other districts of $101,000 and tuition from individuals $53,000. The budget is also supported by some state revenue, state aid, budgeted at $2.7 million, actual $2.6 million. There was a shortfall of approximately $82,000, and that was due primarily to a shortfall in extraordinary aid, which is extraordinary special education cost aid, of $104,000, and that was offset by approximately $19,000 in non-public transportation aid. So overall, there was an excess in revenue of approximately $86,000. Next, we have expenditures or appropriations. The final budget, including the prior encumbrances, was $27.9 million. The actual expenditures were $25.8 million, so that left unexpended balances of approximately $2.1 million. But included in the $2.1 million are $471,000 of encumbrances. Those are purchase orders which are placed before the end of the year for goods or services that aren't received or rendered before the end of the year. So that means truly unexpended is $1.6 million. So approximately 92% of the budget was expended. Right below that, we have a recap of fund balance. So we started the year in the general fund with approximately $2.8 million, liquidated prior encumbrances from the prior year of $336,000, a small amount of budgeted interest on capital reserve, used $241,000 to support the fund balance to support the fiscal year 18 budget, withdrew by board resolution during the year from maintenance reserve of $80,000, withdrew from capital reserve by board resolution $700,000. Through the audit process, we transferred the $200,000 in insurance claims liability to capital reserve. Then we add in the excess in revenue, which I explained previously, of the $86,000 and the unexpended budget balances of $2.1 million. So that leaves at the end of the year general fund surplus in total $3.8 million. So that was an increase of $1 million. But I think it's really important if we turn to the next page where I have the details of the components of general fund surplus or fund balance, because some of these funds are restricted for specific purposes, and I will go over those purposes. So first we'll start with the maintenance reserve. So at the end of the year, there was $621,000 in maintenance reserve. That was an increase from the prior year of $230,000. That $230,000 increase is comprised of the following. There was a year-end deposit of $261,000 by board resolution, and it was a net withdrawal of $31,000 during the year by board resolution. So the maintenance reserve, what can we use the maintenance reserve for? It's actually the easiest reserve to withdraw money from. It can be used for activities in the comprehensive maintenance plan that's done every year, or it's also called the M1. The amount that you can keep in the maintenance reserve is limited to 4% of the replacement costs for your facilities. Next, we have the capital reserve. End of the year at $2.1 million, an increase of $918,000. That's comprised of a year-end deposit by board resolution of $1 million. The transfer of that $200,000 of insurance claim proceeds is interest earnings of approximately $11,000 and a net withdrawal of $293,000. The capital reserve, also restricted, it's for the local share of projects in your long-range facility plan. Now, you haven't been able to formally update the long-range facility plan, but you need to keep like a listing. It just can be on like an Excel spreadsheet of those projects that you have. So the next thing would be encumbrances. The prior auditors consider them to be committed fund balance. We consider them to be assigned, but like I said previously, at the end of the year, there was approximately $471,000. These were more of a capital nature. Like I said, encumbrances are purchase orders placed at the end of the year for goods or services that weren't received or rendered. So what happens is that balance rolls into the 19 budget and gets paid out of the 19 budget. And then finally, we also have some money that was utilized in the 19 budget at a fund balance, $70,000. And finally, unassigned, if you've been in this world for as long as I had, it used to be called unreserved, undesignated, the same thing, or free surplus. It's the one that you have that limitation to for the 2%. So you're at the 2% max at the 535. So I'm going to go over briefly the calculation of excess surplus. It's a simple, pretty much mathematical calculation. So what we do is we take the total general fund expenditures that I had detailed on the first page of $25.8 million, times that times 2%, which is 515. Then they allow you to increase that by some allowable adjustments. So if you had any excess non-public transportation aid, which you did, so that's the 19371, or if you had any excess extraordinary aid that was over what you budgeted. In your case, there was a shortfall in that, so we just add the two together, the 515 and the 19, and that comes to your max of the 535,000. Then simply, it's a calculation where you take the total surplus of 3.87 million and subtract out that those funds that you put aside for different purposes, the encumbrances, the two reserves or restricted balances, and then the money that you're using in the 19 budget. And then you come down to a total unassigned fund balance. Now, if there was a difference, in your case, is there a difference between the maximum unassigned and the total unassigned is zero? But say, for example, your maximum unassigned was the 535, and that calculated amount in the total unassigned was, say, 735,000, then you'd have excess surplus, which you'd have to use. But you don't. That's zero. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to the first page because I want to touch on some other financial matters. So probably a little more than two-thirds down the page, we have the enterprise funds. You have a food service fund. The food service fund is supposed to be operating like a business and be self-supporting. So net position, which is similar to fund balance, that decreased for the year 13,000 to 10.7, okay, in the food service fund. And the reason for the decrease was there was a decrease in operating expenses and there was an increase in subsidy reimbursements, the money you get for reimbursements from the state and federal government for meals served. But that didn't exceed the decrease in the daily sales for the meals. So that's the reason for the decrease. And then the last item on that page is long-term debt or liabilities. I wanted to go over the couple items that you have there. The first item is $25.4 million in bonded debt, which finally matures in fiscal year 34. So you're paying that the annual amortization each year on that. Then there's $658,000 in compensated absences. Well, compensated absences is it's a calculation done where you estimate how much the sick and vacation pay would be of your employees. So it's not like you're going to be paying that out. It's still, unless hypothetically the district closed down, but obviously we know that doesn't happen. So what you do is you pay out what you think you're going to have for the retiring people each year. And then finally, there's the net pension liability. That's $7.396 million. That's a calculation done by the actuary of the state of New Jersey. It's for the people in the PRS pension system. Those are your secretaries, your aides, your custodians. If you were to have school bus drivers, it would be the school bus drivers included in the pension system. Just like compensated absences, it's not a liability. You pay out all at one time. You made the payments that you were required to by the state of New Jersey during the year, but it's just those pension credits that people are earning over time, just like in the public sector. Can I answer any questions on the finances?
Anybody on the board have any questions? Kevin?
Yes.
A couple of background questions.
Sure.
Before I ask the question about the CMI, approximately how many school districts do you audit annually?
We audit 75 school districts.
75?
Yes.
So, based on that experience, on a macro basis, how do we describe the financial position of our district, and how would you describe our reserving and spending practices? Are they responsible?
Yes, I would say they're responsible. I always recommend that you try to have the maximum 2%. Is 2% really what we'd like to have? No, but we're limited to that because at one point they allowed to keep 6%, then they lowered it to 3, and now we're at 2. So you really want to keep the 2% because it's very hard to, you don't want to keep as much as you have because sometimes if there's some kind of unexpected expense during the year, you might need to use that. And then it's always wise to put money in the maintenance and the capital reserve because with the 2% cap, it's very hard to do some of those things. So, yes, we always advise our districts to put, you know, what they can into those reserves and to keep the 2%.
And one more follow-up question. You mentioned earlier that the M1
yes.
is, in fact, capped. It's got the minimum or maximum of 4% of replacement cost of the facilities.
That's the max that you can keep in the maintenance reserve is 4% of the replacement cost of the school's facilities. Yes. Yes, we check that to make sure you don't have above the max in either the maintenance reserve or the capital reserve.
Okay, my question was that the auditor referenced earlier that the M1 fund reserve must be capped at 4% of the replacement values of the facilities in the district. And I asked if we were in compliance, and I believe the answer is that we are.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Sorry about that, guys. You're welcome.
Any other questions on the finance part? Okay, then what I'd like to do is I'm going to move to what we call the auditor's management book. If you happen to have it, it's the little gray book. I'd like to say that, you know, even though there were a few recommendations, they were minor in nature, none of them were serious, but I will go over them, and then we have a couple of suggestions that I will go over as well. So the first recommendation that we had was purchase orders for reimbursements contain a receipt of goods signature. So we test a sample of vouchers or purchase orders, and we noticed just for the reimbursements that they didn't always contain a receipt of goods signature. And it's a good internal control that the district follows the same process for all the purchase orders. The next one was the district developed standard operating procedures for the business function of the district. We did find that after the report was released that the district does have that, so that's an easy fix. The third one is a minor point. Every year you have to fill out this TPF reimbursement to the state for federal salary expenditures. So if you used any of the federal grant money for pensionable salaries, then you would have to return some of those funds to the state of New Jersey. The form was filed, it just wasn't filed timely, and there was no reimbursement due. The next one is for student activities. Generally, in my experience, if we have any recommendations in school districts, it's generally with the student activity accounts. In this case, the student activity receipts weren't deposited in a timely manner. There are no regulations which state, you know, what would be considered timely, but I think it's good practice that those funds are deposited at least twice a week. Sometimes those funds are cash, and it's a case of safeguarding those assets and making sure they're, you know, kept in a safe before they're deposited and they get deposited in the bank as quickly as possible. We did have one school district that we work with where funds were kept in an unsecured draw and approximately $25,000 was stolen. So, not that we had any concerns about that here, but that's the risk that you run if those funds aren't kept secure. And then the final recommendation has to do with capital assets. While we were given a list of capital asset additions for the year to add to fixed asset records in place, the district's records weren't formally incorporated into the capital asset records, and then there was some construction in progress on completed projects which needs to be transferred. So we just suggest that every couple of years that districts go out and have a formal update. We find sometimes some of either the deleted assets or the move assets, it's kind of hard to keep track of them. So if you were to have a company come in and formally update those records, it's a good practice. So overall, it was a good audit. Those are just some minor comments and recommendations. I would like to go over a couple suggestions. Our firm likes to come out every year with a suggestion or so. We call management suggestions on different topics that we think are important to all our districts. It doesn't mean necessarily that we have any concerns about your district. We just think it's good practice. So I also did include some of the ones that we had included in prior years. So the first item is called a SOC 1 report. It's a system and organizational controls. Many districts will have either a payroll service provider and or a food service management company hired by the district. And at least for the food service, they're required by the Department of Agriculture to get what we call a Type 2 report where they review the controls. So we just ask that if you have either one of those or both, that you get a copy of the report, review it, and if you see that there's any concerns or problems in the report, that you contact the service provider and see what they're doing. Not that we had any concerns with the service providers that you use, it's just a heads up. The next one is purchasing compliance. The state of New Jersey does come out and audit different grant funds on a periodic basis, and they call it consolidated monitoring, and they pick different districts, and one of the items that they seem to find consistently is something called confirming orders. So what happens sometimes is we'll see an invoice that's dated, say, today's date, but the purchase order's date is, you know, beyond that. So we just, it's a heads up. I know sometimes it's difficult, especially for certain types of items, but we just want to give you a heads up and to be on the lookout for those type of things. Next, we have student activities. That was the item we picked last year. Like I said, generally, if we have any recommendations or in student activities, while, you know, in some cases, the board office doesn't have control of those funds or at the individual schools, since they use the district's tax ID number, the district has fiduciary responsibility to make sure those funds are used appropriately. So we just suggest that anytime a new club is added or activity, that the board is aware of that or approves that. Additionally, the state of New Jersey, a Department of Education, frowns on different outside organizations asking the district to run fundraisers. Don't shoot the messenger. They don't want those funds accounted for in the district student activity funds. We also suggest that the district have specific policies and procedures, standard ones that apply to all the different schools, not everybody having their own rules for student activities. And then that should also, and make sure, it also is the student activity funds, not that we notice it here, but sometimes in districts we see where those funds are not used for student purposes. They're supposed to, they're student funds to be used for student and not for instructional purposes. And then, you know, sometimes there may be a change in the people who manage those funds in the school, so we just think it's a good year that those policies and procedures be, sometimes it's a good idea at the beginning of the year, emphasized or brought again to attention. You might have a different advisor who's doing that or another person in the school office who's handling those funds that aren't as familiar with. Then a couple years ago, we had cybersecurity. That was a big thing in the accounting profession. On the radar, there's always, you know, there's always that, whether it's by email or somebody's clicking on something in the internet. I know of a certain municipalities in the state of New Jersey were hacked, and they had to pay ransomware funds back to get their unprotected files. Also, the deferred comp plans, it's not the district's responsibility to advise people what deferred comp or 403B plans that they invest in, but you should have some information available to the different employees of districts so they can make their own decision or go to an advisor themselves to make some decisions. And then the final item is independent contractors versus employees. The IRS comes out and does audits of local governments and school districts, and they're looking to see if there's anybody that you hired as an independent contractor that should be an employee. Sometimes it's a gray area. The problem with that is if they find someone like that, you're responsible for both the district's, the employer's Social Security, and the employee's Social Security. So it's a double hit of, you know, approximately 15%. So overall, it's a good report. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Before we hear from Mrs. Cohn and Mr. Polkowski regarding the tentative budget, I have a couple of quick items to review. First, the strategic planning process. The district's strategic planning process is in full motion. It sets the direction for how the children of Clinton Township will be educated from an academic, social, and emotional perspective for the next 5 years. the district's administration and staff, members of the Board of Education, and a variety of stakeholders from the community have participated in two sessions of the district's strategic planning process. Each planning process has been summarized in two separate documents, and those individual summaries can be found on the district's website under the Board of Education tab. There is one remaining strategic planning session left. Upon completion of this last session, the general goals for the plan will be finalized, and then our district's administration and staff will build the programs and tactics required to fulfill the five-year plan. The final session was scheduled to be held during the month of February. Unfortunately, Mother Nature was not very kind to us and shared some inclement weather, causing us to postpone this final session. It has been rescheduled for Thursday, April 25th of 2019 at 7 p.m. here in the Clinton Township Middle School in the cafeteria. Now, we recognize that this date is during the first couple of days back from spring break. Unfortunately, our NJSBA representative is booked up, as she normally is at this time of the year. But because of the inclement weather, Ms. Thornton's schedule became even more limited. So this was the only available date that she had to offer to us. On behalf of the full Board of Education, I'd like to invite everyone to attend the final strategic planning session. You're not required to have participated in prior meetings in order to join us for the final portion of this process. So we look forward to seeing as many members of our staff, parents, and community stakeholders on April 25th. The board has a statement on negotiations. As we have discussed before, the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Education Association, the CTEA, previously agreed jointly that their negotiations for a successor collective negotiations agreement were at impasse, meaning that both parties agreed that further face-to-face meetings would not be productive. In an attempt to resolve the parties' differences, the negotiation teams from both sides then worked with a state-appointed mediator, which unfortunately did not result in a settlement. At that point, the board, the CTEA, and the mediator all agreed that it was in the best interest for both sides to engage in a neutral fact finder. The negotiations team for both the board and the CTEA mutually selected a fact finder who was then appointed by the state. The negotiations teams then met with the fact finder at two informal mediation-like sessions. During all the mediation and fact-finding sessions, the parties did not meet face-to-face, but caucused separately and exchanged proposals and ideas through the mediator and then through the fact-finder. While progress was made during the first fact-finding session, it was clear by the second session that the gap between the board and the CTEA was too far to bridge through mediation. The fact-finder then scheduled a formal fact-finding hearing for May 14th of 2019, at which both sides will present their final proposals for settlement and all evidence and arguments supporting their respective positions. The fact finder will issue a non-binding recommendation for settlement in a public report within 30 days following the close of the hearing. Recently, the CTEA leadership invited the board's negotiations team to meet with them face-to-face to conduct another negotiation session prior to the fact-finding hearing. The board views this as a positive development, is eager to continue to work with the CTA's negotiations team in the most efficient, effective, and expeditious manner possible to reach an agreement that is mutually beneficial and acceptable to both parties. As a result, the board has agreed that it is prudent to continue negotiations with the CTA's team face-to-face and without a fact finder prior to the fact-finding hearing as quickly as possible. In order for this to be a productive meeting, moving both parties towards a final settlement, this past weekend the board's negotiations team requested that the CTEA leadership place at least one specific item onto the agenda the board has stated was critical throughout the negotiations, and particularly during the mediation and fact-finding portions of our negotiations. We hope that the CTEA's negotiations team will agree to discuss this crucial item on the proposed agenda. in addition to the remaining few items found on each party's last set of proposals. If the CTA's negotiations team rejects placing this crucial item back onto the table for discussion, then we believe that both parties will continue to be at impasse and will continue to require the state-appointed fact-finder's assistance during the following fact-finding hearing to help the parties reach agreement. Our negotiations committee hopes the CTA will be agreeable to this one request and that we can achieve a settlement and avoid the need for a hearing. The CTA leadership has proposed that we meet this Thursday, March 21st, 2019. Unfortunately, our labor representative is not available to meet on this night. Subject to the CTA's negotiations team agreeing to discuss our proposed item, we offered three possible dates to hold a negotiation session during the month of April. Monday, April 8th, 6 p.m. at the Round Valley School, Tuesday, April 9th at 7 p.m. at the Round Valley School, and Tuesday, April 30th at 6 p.m. at the Round Valley School. The board would like to offer all three dates for the entire month of April for us to continue to work through our negotiations. We are optimistic that both sides can come to an agreement at the next meeting, and therefore it is imperative that our labor representative and the CTEA's representative be present so that a lawful and accurate memorandum of agreement can be written in accordance with what both parties have agreed. This will only move both parties closer to ratification sooner, thus completing a successful negotiations. The board has the highest level of respect for each and every one of our members of our district staff, and we appreciate all that they do for the children of Clinton Township. We understand the importance of moving this contract to a close in the most efficient and effective way, and we are committed to doing so. We look forward to hearing from the Clinton Township Education Association. Regarding the tentative budget, before Mrs. Cohn and Mr. Folkowski present the tentative budget tonight, I would like to thank them both for all of their hard work in preparing this budget. There's a tremendous amount of coordination, research, and planning required to put together a fiscally responsible budget. So again, thank you both. I'd like to take a moment to place some context around the process, around the development and execution of a school budget and the checks and balances that exist to monitor its development and execution. School budgets, including the Clinton Township School District's budget, are developed, approved, and implemented with a significant number of ongoing checks and balances. The annual school budget is not developed, presented, and approved in a silo. A school district is held accountable to develop, approve, and implement an annual budget by members of the Board of Education, our community, the Executive County Superintendent, the New Jersey Department of Education, and by auditors that specialize in education. This evening's annual tentative budget hearing serves as the culmination of a very long and arduous process that our district administration and Board of Education follow each year in order to develop, propose, and gain approval from the members of the board, the Executive County Superintendent, and the New Jersey Department of Education. The process to develop the 2019-2020 budget began this past fall with the administration, staff, and members of the board identifying and prioritizing specific needs in the classroom, the needs of our facilities, and our operational needs. Mr. Folkowski, our school business administrator, started working on the budget with Mrs. Cohn earlier this year. Other committees, such as the district's curriculum, personnel, negotiations, and facilities and finance committees, also met to talk about specific needs within their committee's area of responsibility. And they provided feedback to Mrs. Cohn and Mr. Folkowski on the budget. Mrs. Cohn and Mr. Folkowski took the input provided by the members of each committee and members of our staff and developed a tentative budget. The Facilities and Finance Committee reviewed the tentative budget and recommended that the superintendent and business administrator present it at this evening's meeting. Upon completion of the presentation, the members of the Board of Education will direct questions regarding the tentative budget to Mrs. Cohn and Mr. Folkowski. When the members of the Board of Education are finished asking questions, I will open the floor up to the first public comment section on agenda items only, where members of the public can ask questions regarding the proposed tentative budget. Following the first public comment section, Mr. Malloy, Chairperson of Facilities and Finance, will read the motion for the 2019-2020 tentative budget. A tentative budget must be submitted to the Executive County Superintendent by this Wednesday, March 20th of 2019. The New Jersey Department of Education will then review this budget. They may ask questions, ask for clarification, and/or provide a request that changes be made. All of this feedback will be provided to Mrs. Cohn and Mr. Folowski. Members of the public can share their thoughts with the board this evening, and the board will take all those comments into consideration. If changes need to be made to the tentative budget or the board wishes to alter a component of this budget, it can occur between the time of the submission of the Department of Education and the annual public hearing of the final budget to be held on Monday, April 29th of 2019. During the annual public hearing, the proposed final budget will be presented. Once again, at that time, members of the board will be provided an opportunity to ask questions and make comments regarding that budget proposal. The public will also be invited to the microphone during that same meeting, during the public comment section, again to ask questions about the budget and share their thoughts. After questions are asked and answered by both the board and members of the public, the board will vote to either adopt or reject the final budget. In addition to voting on the final budget, members of the Board of Education will vote on a payment schedule to be provided to the Clinton Township Business Administrator. As many people are aware, the township collects school tax money owed to the district and then remits that money back to the school based on a 10-month schedule of relatively equal payments. If the budget passes on April 29th of 2019, a user-friendly budget will be posted on the district website prior to the state deadline of May 1st. The checks and balances do not stop after the budget is approved by the Board of Ed, the State Department of Education reviews the district's budget, then the Executive County Superintendent conducts a mid-year review of the budget annually. The district's budget is also reviewed by auditors that specialize in education on two occasions per year. The auditors provide an audit report, just as they did this evening, which is also made available for the public to review. These are the steps that take place each and every year with the district's school budget. The process provides proper oversight and ensures that the budget is effective and responsible. And now I'd like to turn over the microphone to Mr. Folkowski and Mrs. Cohn. Thank you.
Hey, good evening. My name is Mike Falkowski. I'm the school business administrator.
Michelle Cohn, superintendent.
Okay, I just have to apologize. I created this presentation on PowerPoint on a PC, and it's now on an Apple, and there's a couple weird things that happened, but we'll get through it. So first, let's go over the agenda. We're going to talk about the summary of the budget. We're going to talk about enrollment. Then we're going to talk about what the budget supports, the various areas. We'll get into the budget detail, and at the very end we'll recap the budget. So budget summary. So this budget maintains existing class size, academic offerings, extracurricular activities, professional development, and improvement in transportation while building in fiscally responsible salary increases, as well as continuing to maintain and improve district facilities. So what this budget is proposing is a 0% local tax levy increase. We have a very small percentage increase in our debt service levy, which makes our actual levy go up, and that's based on our debt service payment schedule, which is increasing on a yearly basis. We have a total of just under $2 million in state aid. We saw a decrease of $23,673 from last year, and our overall expenditure increase is $538,921. So let's just break down the budget in these pie charts. It's kind of an easy way to see things. If I take the budget and take out our capital projects, which I'll go over later, our grants, and our debt service payments, the overall budget is $26.4 million. If you look at this pie chart here, you'll see that our salaries and benefits makes up 78% of that budget. So it's a huge part of our budget. You can see the other areas there. The buildings and grounds says the word percentage. It's actually 5%. If we go to the next slide and we add in everything, our debt service payments, our grant payments, our grant budget, et cetera, you could see how the salaries and benefits then become 69%. So this is our total budget. This is our operating budget, the grants we receive, as well as our debt service payments. Okay, enrollment. Yeah, those are unusual bullet points, but those are fed into this. So we're projecting a 62 student decrease from this school year to next school year. So in the past 10 years, we have had a student decrease of 557 students. Of our enrollment, we have school choice students. Those are students that elect to come to this school. In 2018-19, the current school year, we have 23 students. Next year we'll have 18. We also receive students. These are tuition students. From Lebanon Borough, we have 23. From pre-K kindergarten is 18, and special education. So this is a pretty telling chart here. On the side, it runs from 1,000 to 1,800 students. And you could see what the decrease in students look like on a chart basis. So we in 2010-11 school year, we had a total of 1,710 students. And next year, we're projecting 1,153. The blue portion is our resident students. The gray portion there is our received students. Now, Ms. Cohn's going to present what the budget supports.
So this budget for the 19-20 school year, one of the things we had to take into consideration was our staffing plan. Class size and students to teacher ratio does not increase in this plan. Staffing salary increases have been built into the budget. Staffing right sizing also does need to take place. This is an annual process that is done as we begin to look at enrollment, and adjustments are made accordingly. In this next school year, we're looking at an approximate $1.2 million in savings between staffing at $875,000 and benefits of $325,000 for the following reductions. Keep in mind that many of these reductions incorporate retirements into this plan. Of course, we can't get more specific. That would be personnel discussion I'm not permitted to do at this meeting. But to give you a general idea, we're looking at a reduction in general ed sections due to the enrollment of 3, special education sections of 4, reductions in custodial and maintenance personnel 4, child study team 2, teaching assistants 5, and administration 1. One of the items that I'd like to just speak to is the professional development that we continue to support for our staff in the district. Since September of this year, we've spent a little over $70,000 on professional development for our staff. We're committed to continuing to provide very important professional development on a number of subjects. We have in the next school year 6 professional development days. And are planning for 200 staff members to attend over 150 workshops, which is a wonderful thing. We also continue to offer the continuing education through tuition reimbursement for staff who wish to take further coursework, graduate work, whatever that might be. And of course, staff training in the following areas: English language arts, math, problem-based learning, which is often heard as IDE training, harassment, intimidation, bullying, social emotional learning, and Sarah Buxton as an on-site trainer offering more sections of development to the staff. Our academics continue to be supported and expanding with Go Math for K-5, Illustrative Math Grade 6, Readers and Writers Workshop K-8, FOSS Science, Discovery Ed Tech Books for Grades 7 and 8, Mystery Science. In social studies, we have My World History for grades 5 and 6, and Discovering Our Past for grades 7 and 8. We continue to utilize the Renaissance Benchmark Assessment System, which provides ongoing benchmark testing for the students so teachers may alter their instruction and adjust accordingly. And of course, the full unified arts offerings of art, music, world language, STEAM and STEM, physical education, health, and library media. Also, just as a note here, we are in the process of completing our strategic plan, and that plan will continue to guide us in all of these offerings. Technology in the district, we have a one-to-one Chromebook program for grades 6 through 8 that will be continued, as well as a refresh cycle, which is a regular cycle of refreshing those Chromebooks that are used on a daily basis by our students in the middle school. We also will be refreshing our staff laptops and their MacBooks. That's on a cycle of a number of years for staff to have those replaced. We continue to expand our Chromebook carts for pre-K through 5 and offer iPads, Fire tablets, and other devices as students need. We continue in the technology area utilizing robotics, coding, the design lab, and TV studios, also another offering for students. Our extracurricular activities include character ed with responsive classroom, words of wisdom, pillars of character, and ABC days. Our enrichment programs, there are many. They do include TREPS, law adventure, many field trips, relay for life, math, geography bees. We have clubs in video, ski club. For our performers, we have the Golden Eagle Singers, and at the middle school, we have the Camerata Singers. We have gardening at this building and at Round Valley, and many more extracurricular. Our sports offerings, soccer, cross country, basketball, volleyball, golf, lacrosse, baseball, and softball. Transportation efficiency is continually monitored. This has been an ongoing area that we would like to improve, and we have put into the budget additional buses to improve travel times for our youngest students especially, and we're looking at 3 at this time. Buildings and grounds, we are it's a very important commitment to make to continue to monitor, assess, improve the buildings so students have a proper learning environment, teachers have a pleasant learning or pleasant teaching environment. We're looking at several projects, a little over $2 million for HVAC, which is air conditioning at the Patrick McGarren School. The Patrick McGarren School also is in need of bathroom renovations as well as additional bathrooms. We need to do some carpet removal here, over at Round Valley, and that will be replaced with tile. We have some security upgrades and also the School Development Authority assessment. Do you want to speak a little bit about that?
So the SDA assessment is a charge from the state of New Jersey. So for some project you have done in the past, the state would have assisted you with those projects. Typically, it would be about a 40% assistance. And I don't know, 5-6 years ago, the state started to charge the schools the interest on that money. So that's something that is automatically charged to us and comes out of our payments of state aid. And just to clarify, the almost $2.7 million includes those projects as well as our normal maintenance and care of the facility. Okay, so let's get into the budget detail. So on this slide here, we're comparing the current year's budget to what we're proposing for next year. So our general current expenses, we're proposing a decrease of 2%. The capital expenditure, you see a very large percentage there, but we're going from $148,000 up to a little over $1.2 million. And that's money that we're taking out of our capital reserve accounts to pay for those projects that we just saw on the previous slide. So when the auditor was here and was talking about putting money away into those reserves, this is what that money is used for. So even though we put approximately $1 million away, we're now going to be withdrawing $1 million to do these projects. And we'll go into some more detail after that. The total special revenue fund, That's just a small increase. That's actually an estimate because we don't have the figures right now, but that's for IDA funds, which is a grant, as well as ESEA, which are the title funds. And then our debt service fund, this debt service fund is what's causing that slight tax increase because our payment plan went up $2,900 from this current year. So spending plan, I tried to break how we're spending into some just key categories, and you could compare this current year until to next year's. So salaries and benefits, again, you know, that's the biggest chunk of our budget. We have that going down $617,000. So that's a combination of the reductions that we talked about earlier, as well as increases in salaries and benefits. Professional services going up slightly. Transportation, we did have some savings with the reorg that was originally budgeted in. So that's why you see that decrease there, even though we budgeted for three more routes. Our buildings and grounds, that's our general budget to maintain the facility, your custodian, just your regular supplies, repairing things here and there when they need to be repaired. That budget's up $100,000. Our supply budget's roughly the same. Our miscellaneous accounts, roughly the same. Our capital expenditures, again, that's money that we're withdrawing out of our capital reserve fund. That's obviously going up significantly. Then you see the special revenue and debt service, which I spoke to earlier. So this slide just shows our tax levy, which I talked about right at the beginning. Our local tax levy, we're proposing it stays identical to what it is in this current year, so a 0% increase. And again, you see that debt service levy going up to $2,900. So that's where those figures are coming from. And again, the debt service, the reason why there's an increase is when we did the bond refunding, there's a schedule of how we pay back this debt, which is like a mortgage payment, and those payments change every year, and ours is gradually increases. So here's our tax levy 10-year history. This is a, you know, being fairly new here, this is a very interesting slide to me because what it proves to me is this school district has been very fiscally responsible. So we saw the slide already where we saw enrollment decreasing. Now you're seeing a 10-year history of tax levy, and it's pretty flat. So the school has actually right-sized the school every single year with decreasing enrollment. And even though I don't have the figures up there, but if you actually take that 10-year average of the tax levy, it's 6.1% increase over 10 years. That's like an excellent figure. And then the overall increase, if you take debt service into it, is only 2.9%. So, I mean, there are school districts going up way more than 2.9% on a yearly basis. And you guys basically have kept a relatively flat budget over 10 years while you continue to monitor the decrease in students. So I would say, you know, an excellent job there in managing the tax levy. So what does this mean to the taxpayer? Up here, what I'm showing is our proposed 0%. If we did go to the levy cap, what that would mean, that's 2%. And then if we went to the levy cap at 2% and also used our bank cap, the bank cap is essentially 3 years worth of funds because the school didn't go up to the 2%. We basically have like funds that we can essentially just go right after and charge the taxpayer if we wanted to. So the school's been very fiscally responsible there. If you look at what I'm trying to compare here, the average assessed home is $397,000. So our increase this year is going to add roughly $5 to taxes. And again, that's a combination of that debt service increase, but also the valuation of the town went down $2,106,700. So there's a couple factors that factor into what changes your taxes. If we did a tax levy cap of 2%, it would be $92. If we did it with the bank cap, it would add $304. So when you see these slides, sometimes like it's hard to relate what this really means. So I just took an example of a home that just sold a couple weeks ago in Clinton. It was a 3,200 square foot home, 4-bedroom, 3-bath. The assessment value of it was $526,000. So a $624,000 home has an assessment of $526,000. And you can see on that last line there, we'd be adding approximately $7 of tax to that particular home. So this is a slide just showing the various state aids we received over the past 4 years. And you can see our school choice aid is our first aid there. And the change column is comparing 18-19, which is the current school year, to next year. But you could see, you know, a general, I have a bigger slide that shows 10 years, but you could see a general decline in state aid. And I think a really important thing to note here is the school last year had adopted their budget, the 18-19 budget, and then I think it was in June it came out, then the governor essentially changed funding and we lost $302,000. That was already budgeted in, and we'll kind of talk about that on another slide as well. So our budget supported by tax levy and state aid, that's 92.2% of our budget, and then the other 7.8% of that total budget comes from these various areas here. And again, a big one for this year is going to be our capital reserve account, and we're with money we have in reserve that we're withdrawing for those capital projects. So here's here's a slide on state aid history over the past 10 years. You could see fiscal year 11, that was the year Chris Christie cut school funding, kind of in the middle of the school year, and you dropped down to $336,000. If I actually showed you the year before, because it's a 10-year history, you'd see what a dramatic drop that was. Then a lot more money was given back in fiscal year 12, and then you kind of went back to almost where you were before those drops. And you know, you could see here you relatively have a decreasing state aid history over the past 10 years. And this is a graph. I'm just trying to show like your tax, what your tax levy is doing and what your state aid has been doing. So your tax levy, although it's been very minor, you can see it's been increasing slightly, but the state aid has been relatively flat over the past handful of years. So let's just go over to capital projects real quick. HVAC upgrades. This is, you know, your air conditioning. The one picture there to your right, I guess there's these units that are sitting in closets in the classrooms. Those are going to be eliminated, and we're going to get rooftop units. This project was already bid. The bid came in at $266,900, and the project is supposed to begin essentially right at the last day of the school year, and we estimate completion in mid to late August of this year. We're also putting $100,000 in security. A lot of these projects are going to be completed by in-house staff. Again, they're going to start immediately in the summertime, and we expect completion in mid to late fall. There's some bathroom remodels and additions we're doing as well. The project estimate, this project has not been bid yet, but there are plans that exist for these rehabilitations and additions. This project is $630,000. It'll go out to bid in the next few months, and we hope to begin work in the summer, and it'll be completed in stages. So we're anticipating it'll be about a year in stages to complete. And then Ms. Cohen spoke about the flooring project where carpet will be removed and replaced with tile. It's roughly an $80,000 budget. And again, we're gonna have to bid that as well within the next few months. And hope to have that all completed by the start of the school year. Okay, the board asked me to prepare a reorganization analysis. I know there's been some prior presentations on the reorg and what type of savings there would be with the reorganization. And what this slide is gonna represent. So the estimate was roughly around $900,000 of savings, to do this reorganization. And that was after one-time costs. On the very bottom of the slide, we have the one-time costs, and then we have the additional costs. So there were additional costs to reorganize. A big chunk of that came from mold remediation, half of it, $125,000. We also lost that state aid. So that was something that, basically was hit after the budget was already adopted. So if you take that $900,000 and reduce it by those two amounts, we have a savings of $347,000. Right now I'm projecting a fund balance somewhere in that area, about $322,000. So the difference right now is about $25,000. So I would say, it was a pretty good estimate. If we actually didn't lose that funding, it would even have been better. Okay, so let's just recap what we've just gone over. The budget minimized the impacts to our taxpayers with a 0% local tax levy increase and a 0.0113% overall tax increase. And again, that's from that debt service. We maintain our academic offerings, our extracurricular activities. We're hoping to improve transportation time, improve upon instruction through professional development, increase in, we've budgeted for increase in staff salary and benefits. We address safety and security needs, and we're responsibly maintaining our school buildings. Would you like to read this?
Sure. Clinton Township School District has been fiscally responsible while maintaining the highest level of education possible to our students. That includes maintaining our current class sizes, advancing our curricular and co-curricular programs, and providing ongoing professional development for staff. The district has faced declining enrollment, continued loss of state aid, rising health care costs and salary costs, and we've been able to manage by right-sizing staff according to student need and enrollment numbers and undergoing the reorganization of the district.
All right, so I just want to just give a couple important dates. By Wednesday, if we approve the budget, tentative budget, it has to be filed with the state. We're going to have our board meeting slash public hearing on Monday, April 29th. And then May 14th is actually the drop dead deadline to adopt a budget, but we expect to be adopting it on April 29th. Okay. Thank you.
Any members of the Board of Education have any questions for Mrs. Cohn or Mr. Polkowski?
I do have a question. Sure. So on page 13, regarding the state aid, mm-hmm. what does adjustment mean? Because it looks like actually the excess funds that were there were only for 4 years.
Sure. So adjustment aid is essentially what the state's been, the state has not been following the funding formula, and they've been using adjustment aid as a way to essentially work around that. So you probably have heard about some schools that are suing the state now because they're losing all kinds of funding. Essentially, schools have been receiving, some schools, for example, like a Jersey City, has been receiving millions upon millions of extra dollars that they shouldn't have been receiving. And there's essentially a 7-year rollout right now of eliminating that adjustment aid. Our adjustment aid was eliminated last year, mid-year, and I would not expect to see adjustment aid, you know, to come to the school again. Sure.
The first slide in enrollment.
Yeah.
The received student breakdown says Lebanon Borough 23
decrease. Yeah,
that number of students that are losing.
That shouldn't, the word decrease actually shouldn't be there.
Okay, so all of those are the total numbers.
Correct. Correct. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, I think we've right-sized the staffing over the last number of years, you know, as you could see from the presentation. When we look at, we really look at sections. So based on our population, however many students there are, how divided by, you know, how many students we'd like in the class gives us our number of sections. So each grade level, you know, we've very closely looked at our reductions. And we can say that, you know, for example, in for sixth grade, this year there are 156 students. Next year there will be 128. So that's one of the ways we look at the enrollment and how many sections we need. And so that's where we really begin. And then from there, we analyze, the director of special services and myself analyzed the needs of the students. She'll look at, you know, how many students need to be in a supported section. And there are rules about that in the state. You know, there's a maximum amount in a class of students that need the support. We never go up to that ceiling. We keep it below. It's better for the students. And still within that, you know, that philosophy, we're providing the right number of sections for the students. The same thing I would say with the teaching assistants. Those are staff members that are with students with IEPs. When you have decreased enrollment, you have then decreased need for those as well. So it's across the board we're looking at how the decrease of student population affects our staffing. You're welcome.
Any other questions for us?
Thank you. I'd like to take a seat and then I'll open the floor for a couple.
Sure.
Thank you.
You got it? Okay.
I'd now like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow everyone to be heard in a fair and consistent and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It's not an interaction between the board and the public. This too is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will have at the microphone. If the Board of Education has immediate answer to the question, questions, they'll answer that at the conclusion of this public comment section. We will gather all the questions at the podium and put them on the website within the next few days. To the extent any other action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address, limiting this public comment section to 45 minutes.
Ronell Reckon, 42 Valley Crest Road. Just in regards to the budget, I can understand if there's decline enrollment that there has to be personnel adjustments. One of the questions I have, just I guess based on what happened last year, is there was one librarian between Spruce Run and PMG in the past shared, which was less grades than that same librarian now have to share between two schools. Round Valley used to have a full-time librarian that did not only just support the students, but I believe was also a great asset and assistance to the staff. And now that is cut in half. And I was just wondering, with all the budgeting, if that was taken in consideration and if there will be a regular full-time librarian library support for the students again. And then the other thing, I understand that you have to look at sections in terms of enrollment and how many gen ed and special ed teachers you have. But also, just a request to please consider the special education, not just IEP, but regular math support, for example, or literacy support, and to make sure that the qualifications that students have to meet to need, for example, math support, doesn't get slightly lowered, meaning they have to increase, have a lower score. Let me rephrase. I want to make sure that students don't have to do even worse to still qualify for math support. And I know there's rumors going around, but just make sure that there's, keep in consideration that don't lower the standards for students to be able to qualify, for example, for math support, just because you don't want to hire an extra staff member. I know I may not make sense. Hopefully someone somewhere will understand what I mean. And again, consider library at Round Valley that was cut in half last year. Thank you.
Can you sign your name for the record? Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board this evening? No, seeing none, I will then close the floor. At this point in time, I'd like to ask Mr. Malloy, our chairperson for Facilities and Finance, to make any closing comments on the budget, sir. Just better?
No.
Her mic's out. Are you trying to turn it off and turn it back on, right?
Exactly.
Hey, we all know that.
Technology's great when it works.
Okay, so I asked Mr. Malloy, as chairperson of the Facilities and Finance Committee, to make his comments based on what the Facilities and Finance Committee learned and recommended for this evening. Mr. Malloy?
Thank you, Mrs. Grant. I won't belabor the point by repeating too much of what the superintendent and our business administrator put forward, but I'd like to thank those who came here. This is a very important meeting. It often doesn't get enough attention, but this is how we figure out how to run the school district and how we figure out how to pay for it. And I think the committee as a whole put forth something for the approval of the full board with the help of the business administrator and the superintendent that is eminently responsible, not only to our students, our staff, our teachers, our administrators, but to every resident of this district. Some of the key takeaways that you might have caught or you might not have is that we've seen a 33% drop in enrollment in students over the past 10 years. We've seen a 20% drop in state aid in the past 7 years, and we've increased taxes on aggregate 1.05%. Now, something else to consider when we think about that is looking at property values and ratables. So our taxes are flat, but the actual expenditures are going up. Why? Property values are not increasing. There have been numerous demographic studies done by this board, other areas, other boards of education, and our town government about why that's happening. We face a demographic crisis. We have a lot of people not moving to this town. We have a lot of homes that are not being sold, and when they are getting sold, they're getting sold for less than they pay for it. And I think as the single largest section of the property taxes levied in this district, managing those expectations while still providing the best quality education we can is critically important. And I think this committee has done an outstanding job. I think our BA and our superintendent have done an outstanding job. I think there's long-term issues that we will be considering. We've had some internal discussions, and I think we're going to continue to do that. But for now, I think what we are presenting is a collaborative, responsible, well thought out, and thoroughly student centric budget. So,
thank you, Mr.
Yep. All right. So, if I do this well, will you let me read the executive session? Okay, ready, everybody? Okay. Yes, with that, I am going to seek a motion for action item 19FF203, and I'll read it now into the record. Be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby approves the following resolution adopting the 2019-2020 tentative proposed budget. Be it resolved that the tentative budget be approved for the 2019-2020 school year using the 2019-2020 state aid figures, and the Secretary to the Board of Education be authorized to submit the following tentative budget to the Executive County Superintendent of Schools for approval in accordance with the statutory deadline, and to advertise said tentative budget in the Hunterdon Democrat in accordance with the form prescribed by the State Department of Education and according to law, and as 2019-2020 total expenditures in the general fund of $27,510,570, special revenues of $302,000, debt service of $2,103,006 for total expenditures of $29,915,576, less anticipated revenues in the general fund of $4,018,250, special revenues of $302,000, no change in debt service, for total less anticipated revenues of $4,320,250, taxes to be raised from the general fund, $23,492,320, zero in special revenue, $2,103,006, for total taxes to be raised of $25,595,326. Be it further resolved that a public hearing be held at the Clinton Township Middle School Auditorium, 34 Gray Rock Road, Clinton, New Jersey, on April 29th, 2019 at 7:30 p.m. for the purpose of conducting a public hearing on the budget for the 2019-2020 school year. Whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education recognizes school staff and board members will incur travel expenses related to and within the scope of their current responsibilities and for travel that promotes the delivery of instruction or furthers the efficient operation of the school district, and whereas NJIC 6A27A-7.3 etc. requires board members to receive approval of these expenses by a majority of the full voting membership of the board, and staff members to receive prior approval of these expenses by the superintendent of schools and a majority of the full voting membership of the board, and whereas a Board of Education may establish for regular business travel only an annual school year threshold of $1,500 per staff member, where prior board approval shall not be required unless this annual threshold for a staff member is exceeded in a given school year, July 1 through June 30, and whereas, travel and related expenses not in compliance with NJAC 6A:23A-7.3 et sec., but deemed by the Board of Education to be necessary and unavoidable as noted on the approved Board of Education out-of-district travel and reimbursement forms. Now, therefore, be it further resolved, the Board of Education approves all travel not in compliance with NJAC 6A:23A-7.3 et sec. as being necessary and unavoidable, as noted on the approved Board of Education out-of-district travel and reimbursement forms, and be it further resolved, the Board of Education approves travel and related expense reimbursements in accordance with NJAC 6A:23A-73B1 to a maximum expenditure of $85,000 for all staff and board members. I move that.
Thank you. I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Brooks. Any questions? Last time? No. Okay, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figaro?
Yes.
Dr. Foy is absent. Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Rahimaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Should I move this? You want this?
No,
it's working better now. Okay.
Is it better
good.
Now?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I'd like to move the meeting on to the report of our superintendent, Mrs. Michelle Combs. Mrs. Combs, may we have the report? Your report, please.
Yes, thank you. The enrollment for our Clinton Township School District this evening is 1,218 students. And if you know me, I usually like to give you a reference point. Last year at the same time, it was 1,269. We have a suspension report. There is an addendum for an additional. We have an additional two at CTMS, two one-day in-school suspensions. along with another two one-day in-school suspension at CTMS, and there is one one-and-a-half-day in-school suspension at Round Valley. There are several first and second reading of our harassment, intimidation, bullying. There are 10 for first reading, and there are 12 for second reading. And just as a comment, this represents for some of these a two-month time period due to cancellations with snow. As Mrs. Grant mentioned, also strategic planning, the meeting number 3 is scheduled for April 25th. We hope to see all of you out there. Bring a friend. I'd also like to comment on spring break, the adjustment to our calendar. We had 6 school closings, and so that, according to our calendar, puts us at using 2 days on our spring break. So we are in session on April 25th. Yes, 25th and 26th with our 6 closings. And I wanted to just take a moment and recognize some of the wonderful work by our students and staff. This past month, Relay for Life was held here at Clinton Township Middle School. I'd like to congratulate Diane Cormican and all of the participants. This year, Relay raised over $30,000 for the American Cancer Society. And over the last 9 years, Clinton Township School District raised over $320,000 for Relay for Life, the American Cancer Society. So thank you all for the hard work and dedication to that program. A couple of weekends ago, I had the pleasure of sitting right here in this auditorium and watching the students participate and perform Mary Poppins Jr. It was a wonderful show for those of you that came out. I'm sure you had a great time. Grades 6, 7th, and 8th grade students sang and danced the night away, and it was wonderful. We had some audience participation with some of the things coming out into the audience. It was great fun. So I'd just like to thank the director, Caitlin O'Connor, Lara Callow, who did the choreography, and Mr. Tariff, who did set design and lighting. Also, there were so many volunteers that assisted with this. We had parent volunteers, Mrs. Decker, Emily Decker, Lana Brennan were parent volunteers with the production, so it was wonderful. Thank you so much.
What was the second one?
Emily and, Lana Brennan. Very nice. The other thing I'd like to mention is that the Clinton Township Middle School students received honorable mention for the 7th and 8th grade in the lawfare. Thank you. Students have been invited to perform their case on Wednesday, May 15th. Recently also, you probably noticed a NewJersey.com article on school performance. Our schools were looked at very favorably. It was the March 14th article, if you have an opportunity to look at that. So our students fared well, CTMS and Round Valley students in their testing. Round Valley students scoring in the 86.55 percentile, which is wonderful. And so the district is committed to the professional development in those two areas of English language arts and math, and I just like to say hats off to those teachers. Very nice job. Our students are doing well because of your efforts, so thank you. That is my report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm looking for a motion, please, for action item 19SU017, 19SU019.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Roy.
Second.
Mrs. Brennan. I would just like to comment. I've been going to the Relay for Life for a very, very long time, and it is really one of the most inspirational things that we do as a district. I would like to thank Ms. Cormican and all the students that participate in that particular event. It's a very, as I said, very moving event. It's touched all of us at some level, somehow, and has a lot of meaning for all of us. So thank you to the students and the families who support their children participating in that, and thank you so much for the staff for making it the success that it is on an annual basis. I'd also like to thank, on behalf of the board, those involved, as Cone mentioned, members of our staff and members of our community for supporting such a wonderful theater production in Mary Poppins. You know, I have the opportunity to go to other districts and watch productions, and ours clearly are hands above most of the others that I see. It makes it very pleasurable to go. So congratulations to the students, again to the parents, and thank you again to the staff for all that you do to make it a successful event for our students. And I'd also like to congratulate Mrs. Cohn and her staff on the ratings that we received in the paper as well. Everyone, including the administration, as well as the teachers. So your hard work clearly pays off, and our students are doing very well. So thank you all for what you do. Any other questions for Mrs. Cohn?
Mrs. Cohn, one question. You mentioned earlier that because of school closings, we are going to be in session for 2 days of spring break. Has the last day of school been changed?
It has not been changed.
It could snow a few inches next week.
And I was hesitant to give this report. I thought it might be my fault if it snowed, so it's not my fault.
Any other questions for Mrs. Cohn this evening? Now, seeing none, maybe we have a roll call, please.
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Mrs. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Rahimaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Folkowski. I'd like to open the floor now to the first recognition of the public. All the parameters I mentioned for the public comment section on agenda items only apply here. If you'd like to address the board on school-related matters only, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 10 minutes. Okay, I'd like to close the floor then, seeing none. Maybe please have the report of the school business administrator and board secretary, Mr. Polkowski, please.
Sure. On this agenda, we'll be approving our February financials, which includes our board secretary and treasurer's report, our transfers, line item transfers up through February 28th, the certification for those reports, as well as we're approving six sets of minutes. Okay, so we're approving August 16th, August 27th, September 8th, and September 24th.
Correct.
So four sets of minutes.
Thank you. Looking for motion, please, for 19BA 22 to 19BA 25.
Motion,
Dr. Rahimaki. Second, please.
Second,
Dr. Grantham. Any questions for Mr. Polkowski tonight?
I want to clarify that because four of us were not on the board last year, we should abstain from that one.
Mr. Bausch, would you handle that question, please?
Sure. The answer is very clear. There is no requirement that you abstain from a motion. Personal knowledge of what's in the minutes is not required under Robert's rules or under any board policy. A common response is to abstain. And that's not something that's unusual. However, you are not required to abstain as a matter of law or policy.
Can I ask a follow-up question, given that Dr. Foy is not here, and so if the four of us abstain, there would only be four votes, and it wouldn't be a majority of the board? Is that an issue?
From what I understand with Robert's rules, it's of those that are eligible. Is that correct?
Well, he's saying that we're eligible.
You are eligible. That would be the easiest way to do it. Additionally, there's not a necessity to actually approve the minutes.
Right. We approve the minutes just as a process, but by...
It's a tradition.
But it's
much
not something
more,
we have to do. So.
Yeah, it gives people an opportunity to look into what went on at the meetings and recall. It's a help memory aid for board members, but not required. Certainly not required by Robert's rules. Your abstention would count in terms of the number of board members voting, even though an abstention is not a vote. This is under Robert's rules. So we would have a quorum of people voting, even if you abstain, and then it would be by a simple majority of those eligible to vote. So minutes could be approved by a vote of 3-2, or 3-0. Sorry for the complexity. I'm not sure I knew all of this before, but I knew this was coming up, so I took a look at it.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
I abstain.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes to all, abstaining from on 18BA025. I abstain from minutes August 8, I believe it is. No, August 16, August 27.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so August 16th and 27th?
Correct.
Kevin, actually, it should be September 8th and the 16th.
He can.
Oh, sorry. I mean, the 24th is the other one.
You're right, Lana. I abstained from August 16 and September 8. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Iamaki?
Yes, 22 through 24, and abstaining on 18BA025.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion passes. I'd like to move on to the report of our committees. Our first committee's report is Facilities and Finance. Mr. Malloy is the chair of that committee. Mr. Malloy, may we have the report of your committee, sir?
Yes, thank you. The Finance and Facilities Committee met on the 11th and the 14th of this month. The 11th meeting on the 11th was strictly a budget discussion. The 14th was more of agenda items, something I neglected to mention in my comments on the meeting on the 11th. So I've sat on Facilities and Finance since I started on this board. I've chaired it, I believe, 6 out of my 8 years on this board. I thought our budget process was the most collaborative I have ever been party to. It was thoughtful. It was engaging to a person. Everybody was fantastic about bringing ideas to the table. Debates were had. They were good-natured. They were respectful. They were impactful. So something I think I should just be mentioning as a part of that. On the 14th, the agenda business included discussions of HVAC bid acceptance, the facilities plan with our architect of record, Brett Somjin, the child assault prevention discussion, a small change of transportation costs for a field trip to the Morristown Performing Arts Center, small change going down, a discussion of the audit corrective action plan, that was discussed. Most, if not all, of these items that we'll be moving tonight, the backup documentation is in front of you and or was sent on March 15th of this year. So one other item on housekeeping, 19FF195 and 196 are duplicate. So I request 194 and 195, excuse me, 194 and 195 are duplicate. I request 195 be removed. So with that, having already passed FF19203, we have 25 items to move this evening. Among them, payment of bills, of course, the Brett Somjin building assessment, course and graduate course and travel approval for staff learning, renewal of our global compliance training, 14 separate approvals related to IEPs, the HVAC bid approval, the corrective action plan that was created by Mr. Falkowski, the acceptance of the audit as presented earlier this night, a small grant acceptance, and one quick item of payment for Hogan Security for Akon Montessori, which is, if you remember our last public meeting, that is a system whereby we as a public entity accept money as a fiduciary on behalf of non-public schools for state aid given. So with that, I wish to move action items 19FF171 through 19FF194, 19FF196, through 19FF202, 19FF204, through 19FF207.
Well done, Mr. Malloy. Well done.
206.
Thank you. Is it 206?
206.
Because it's duplicate. 206, please excuse me. Yes.
Looking for a second, please?
Second.
Second, Mrs. Brooks. Any questions for Mr. Malloy?
Can you do that again?
Not today, but yes.
Okay, seeing none, may we have a roll call, Mr. Falkowski?
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Iamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Moving on to our next committee, which is personnel. The Personnel Committee has met twice since our last board meeting. During those two meetings, we reviewed the following items: the contract for the Director of Special Projects, changes in two job descriptions and some of their associated responsibilities, staffing needs for the 2019-2020 school year, relationship to the needs of the district, and a decline in student enrollment. We reviewed leave of absence requests, attorney leave requests and replacements, reviewed mentors for newly hired staff, discussed special education needs in the district and staffing requirements to fulfill the identified needs, and the process to look for a new business administrator. Therefore, on the agenda this evening, you will see the following motions. First, regarding mentoring new staff, you'll see four resolutions mentoring for tenured staff to mentor younger staff. The younger staff, 19 PN 174 to action item 19 PN 177. The mentoring takes place for about 10 weeks or more. The cost to the new teacher is approximately $147 to as much as $333. With regret, we will vote to accept the resignation of Krista Lunden Mikowski, a 0.5 secretary at Patrick McGarren School, effective March 12, 2019. Tonight, we'll be seeking the approval of hiring a 0.5 TA at a prorated salary of $11,579. We're also looking for approval for home instruction for two of our current students. We have an amendment for maternity leave. We have changes in the job description for the assistant business administrator and accounts payable coordinator slash administrative assistant. And the board is looking for approval for the contract of the director of special projects. And the last two items I'd like to bring, actually the last three items I'd like to bring to your attention, are salary adjustment for the assistant to the business administrator for additional responsibilities outlined in the amended job description, hiring of a new Spanish teacher from the middle school, and finally, we're looking for the approval for seven teaching assistants to attend training at Spruce Run School for IEP-driven needs on March 27th, April 3rd, April 10th, and April 17th. So with that, I'd like to move action items 19 PN 174 to action items 19 PN 193. And I'm looking for a second, please.
I'll second.
Second, Mr. Malloy. Any questions? No? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, Mr. Polkowski?
Sure. Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Rehimaki?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Moving on to our curriculum committee, Ms. Beth Brooks is
policy.
Okay. Policy. And then curriculum, both held by Mrs. Brooks.
Whichever you want first. Okay. Policy committee met once since our last board meeting, and at the time we conducted reviews of the following bylaws and regulations: the core values or conduct of the board, the voting method, public and executive sessions, and public statements from the board, a regulation for public participation, and that was the sum total of our efforts for the month. That being said, I would like to move for approval of action item 19PC001.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Reading, okay.
Second,
Ms. Emery. Any questions for Ms. Brooks, please? Seeing none, may we have a roll call?
Sure. Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Rehimaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Grant?
Yes. Motion carries. Mrs. Brooks.
Can I do curriculum
you
now?
You can do curriculum now.
Okay. I believe we met, I'm a little confused on this one. Did we meet once since the last board meeting?
Twice.
Okay. Twice since the last board meeting. And we have approved field trips to Great Adventure. They didn't invite me. The New Jersey State House and Old Barracks Museum, which I believe is a new field trip this year, which is a substitute for one that we've done in the past, but which we were unable to reschedule following weather-related problems, the Morristown Performing Arts, And also field trips from CTMS to Round Valley School for Read Across America. This is for participating fourth graders. And to the TD Bank Ballpark Somerset Patriots game. Once again, they did not invite me. And we approved Ryan Jack's request for teacher observation placement with the CTMS social studies teachers for 20 hours from March 26th through April 23rd for Mark and Patty Community College Foundations of Education course assignment. And the Board of Education hereby approves Rob Lowering's request for math class teacher observation placement with Lisanne Bartram, PMG grade 2 teacher for 30 hours between April 1st and June 20th for a Drexel University course assignment. I believe you mentioned that Mr. Lowering is
a district employee.
He's a district employee and is seeking to become a teacher. With that, I would like to call for to approve the action items 19CUR046 through 19CUR049.
Motion, Dr. Grantham.
Second.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Yep. Second, Dr. Yamaki. Any questions for Mrs. Brooks this evening?
One. Mrs. Yes. Brooks, the CTMS field trip to Great Adventure, in past years, wasn't that Hershey Park? Mm-hmm. Why the change?
I think the Hershey,
It's a shorter drive.
It is a shorter drive, and so the students have the ability
Is this the one that's
one
all day?
Yes.
Yeah, they have changed the schedule of the performance timing. This isn't coincident with the performance for judgment been done on their performance. That's going to be done here. And they're going to go to Great Adventure on another day. It used to be a combined
right.
trip because it's just too big a group with the 6th, 7th, and 8th grades.
Gotcha. Thank you for that.
I knew it. I just couldn't remember.
It's all good.
Something like that.
Any other questions this evening? Okay, seeing none, maybe we have a roll call.
Mrs. Brennan?
Yes.
Mrs. Brooks?
Yes.
Ms. Emery?
Yes.
Ms. Figueroa?
Yes.
Dr. Grantham?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Dr. Iamaki?
Yes.
And Ms. Brand?
Yes. Motion carries. Thank you. Feasibility of closing school, that committee does not have anything to report this evening, so I'd like to move on to the next segment of the meeting tonight, which is all business of the board. This portion of our meeting is for board members to ask questions about old business or present old business on school-related matters only. It's not a time to make personal statements, rather a time to review topics that have been previously discussed and bring up old topics relative to the business of the board. Is there any old business that members of the board would like to discuss this evening? No? Okay, moving on to new business. Same parameters as old business, but for new business.
In light of the criminal amount of paper that this particular meeting, and I believe the next budget meeting, will likely generate, I know that the issue of the board having Chromebooks mm-hmm. was at one time considered rather a problematic because of the expense. You know, why should board members get Chromebooks? But I'm just wondering if we could look into the comparative cost of all of this paper and toner versus us using, you know, Chromebooks that maybe have been around a year or two to see if there's a savings to be had and if maybe the savings to the environment offsets any cost involved.
Sure.
Could I add to that, which is a lot of these papers are printed on a single side,
mm-hmm.
and it would be lovely if they were all double-sided.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I want to jump in front of Mrs. Brennan. So I last year had the privilege of visiting Science Night at Round Valley School for the first time, and it was a wonderful event, and it was so wonderful that I am roped into doing a table with Dr. Grantham. So. We are really excited to participate and hope that the community shows up because we will not be the top ticket item there, but there are some wonderful events that are planned for the kids, and so I want to thank everyone all of the community members who've put that together.
Thank you.
The other new business?
Lana's got some.
Oh, Lana, sorry.
Sorry. I don't think we're meeting before, but it was in the presentation. TREPS is happening at the middle school, April 10th. Mm-hmm. And I went last year, and it was really great to see all the students coming up with their own things. Also, I spent way too much money. I'm going to bring a lot of cash this time. So I just want to put that out because it's really wonderful to see these students, really young entrepreneurs, and I love that.
Very good.
Anything else?
Okay, I'd like to open the floor, please, to the second recognition of the public. Parameters that I mentioned before for the first public comment section on agenda items apply here. If you'd like to address the board this evening, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. Be limiting this public comment section for 10 minutes. Anyone? Okay, seeing none. The most favorite part of the meeting for our business administrator. Would you please read the executive session?
Okay.
Yep.
I can, I don't, if I'm legally allowed, I'll help you out.
Okay, so you want to amend it?
Okay.
Yep. We're just going to amend the executive session minutes for 1 second, please.
While the Senator prior to their Open Public Meeting Act, NJSA 10:4-6, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10:4-12b, sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within attorney-client privilege to the extent that the confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer, the nature of the matter described specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality, reviewing hearing information before the board to NJSA 18A:37-13.2, the attorney-client privilege, and collective negotiations. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be
180 minutes,
after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon.
Thank you, sir. Looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Who said that?
With enthusiasm, Mrs. Brennan. Looking for a second, please.
Second,
Dr. Ramaki, with a little more enthusiasm than Mrs. Brennan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We're in executive session. Looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are now back in the meeting. I'm now looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is now adjourned.
Good night.